obviously stating what's going on here with it being Family Worship Weekend, that it's not our normal weekend. It's not our normal Sunday, that there are a little bit more wiggly toes and bouncy butts in the seats today, and that's a good thing, and so we are going to embrace it. As a parent, sometimes, at least I know my personality, where all of a sudden I give that look to my kids awful quickly when they just even look at grabbing something that they shouldn't be grabbing, or start to whisper when it's not a whisper at all, and trying to, you know, quiet them. And parents, grandparents, those of you that are looking after kids, exhale, relax, embrace this time, having the children here with us. There might be a few distractions, but we can keep our focus and press on. So do not be harsh or too quick to challenge your kids. I want to allow you to parent, but at the same time, giving them a little bit of freedom as well, because we're having 3-year-olds, 4-year-olds, all the way up to 9-, 10-year-olds sitting in with us today that aren't normally with us. So again, we are excited for you to be here. My son asked me when I got down earlier and said, Dad, what are you going to have us do that is going to give all the parents a stink eye back at you? And so I was going to talk real quickly about King David, how he leapt in the streets and jumped around for joy, praising the Lord. And his wife started to kind of rebuke him and scorn him and say, how dare, and he said, girl, I'll make more of a fool of myself for Jesus than this. And so in just other times throughout the Psalms, and the especially in the Psalms, it talks about God's people standing up and being excited and jumping and shouting and all those things. But they just sang a song all about that. So I was going to have each of them stand up and get all the wiggles out, but I think most of them were up here doing that. So we're going to just move on to the message here in Mark, but I'm going to open up in prayer, and then we'll get into the proclamation of God's word. Father, we thank you for the children. We thank you for just their tender hearts, for the way they observe the world around them, and how they see things differently than us, and sometimes that's a good thing. But I thank you for the instruction and the leadership you have put over them. Father, I pray that you would be with each adult that is responsible for raising and loving and supervising little ones that are within their midst and sphere of influence. Father, I pray that you would continue to have us re-gospel ourselves, turning our attention to you first. And so that, just as it says in Scripture, that people can tell when we've spent time with Jesus, that the young children would know that those who love them and care for them, that they know there's a sincere relationship with your son Jesus, Father. Father, I pray for this service that you will guide me and lead me, that you will use my tongue in a way that only your Holy Spirit can, reaching and moving to ears that are 3 years old to 103 years old, Father. That you would just use that, the power of your Holy Spirit, to bind truths in your love to our heart. Father, cultivate our hearts just as farmers cultivate soil, cultivate our hearts now with your word. We love you and thank you. It's for your precious name that we pray these things. Amen. And so last week in John chapter 3, as we wrapped up John chapter 3, we saw Jesus call 12 disciples. And I talked about how they were just ordinary men. And that we too are just ordinary people. God loves using the ordinary. God loves using the lesser thans, because it just shows his sovereignty, shows his might, it shows his power all the more, which is meant to increase the glory given to him. And so hopefully that made sense last week. One of the other things we talked about was Jesus also addressed the crowd that was sitting at his feet, learning from him, and said, he who hears my Father's words and listens to my commandments and obeys them, I call them my brothers and sisters. And we are called the children of God when we have turned our hearts, turned our the essence of who we are, our soul, entrusted in Jesus. At that point in time, we are called his children. Jesus calls us co-heirs of God's kingdom as his brothers and sisters. And so I want to jump into Mark chapter 4, verses 1 through 20 this morning. And we'll read it first, and then we'll see what the Lord has for us in it. Starting in verse 1 of Mark chapter 4 on page 1527 and continuing on to 1528 in the Pew Bibles. It says, again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching said, listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along a path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times. Then Jesus said, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. He told them, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but those on the outside, everything is said in parables so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven. Then Jesus said to them, don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parables? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires of other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown. And so going back, Jesus has been in this situation before where he has such a large following, so many people that they were pressing in on him that he was feeling crushed, that he didn't have room to really maneuver and move about. And so he had a boat prepared for him. And again, he's doing the same thing by the lakeside in Capernaum. It is right on the water, big fishing port. And so he gets into a boat again. That worked pretty well. And everyone else stayed on the banks and on the shore, and he preached to them. And he taught them. And of course, he was sharing the good news of the gospel. And so he told them many parables, it says. Mark only shares with us this specific parable of the sower or of the soil. But he shared many teachings, many parables. And a parable can oftentimes be confusing. We see here that the disciples, they even struggle to understand it. And he even says, you don't understand this? How can you understand any of the parables if you don't understand this one? And so this is a safe place, a good time for us to just be honest with one another. For anyone that's in here that has ever been reading God's word and has just kind of had to just look at it and say, I have no clue what Jesus is trying to tell me right here. Would you just raise your hand if you've ever been in that position? Now, hold on. This isn't anything to be ashamed of. Keep your hands up, because my hand is up as this week, as I'm working through this. Would you just look around real quickly and see the liars that don't have their hands up? And see everyone else that does? Thank you. You can put your hands down. But it is true. There's many times where we can read something, and it might be for various reasons. We might be distracted or thinking of something else, or we haven't read in a long time. And I just want to just encourage you that usually when I've struggled with something, I've gone back and read it later and read it multiple times. And sometimes there's still nothing that really, really makes sense. But usually what really starts to help me is when I go to it in prayer and say, Father, I just don't understand what you're trying to tell me right now. I don't understand this section of scripture and what you're trying to have me apply to my life for myself, for my family, and those around me. And I need your Holy Spirit to illuminate that in my heart so that I can understand it. And not always, but generally that is the case. For me, last night, it was at about sometime between 10 o'clock and midnight that I'm not even sure I fully understand one section that we'll get to, but I began to have a different understanding from how I was reading it before, and hopefully that will make sense. But he uses parables, and he'll tell us why in a little bit, but he uses parables, and the general point of a parable is not always, but usually it has a singular point, one point. And it's a story that he would use that would make sense to the people in that area. And hopefully will make sense to us. And he'll use common things that we would experience or see or smell or taste or whatever the case may be. And he generally says, the kingdom of heaven is like this. Or the Father is like this. Now, it can be dangerous to try and make all these applications to a parable. Because like I said, generally there's one main thrust of an application. But the point of a parable is to point to Jesus. Is to point to salvation. As we learned in Mark chapter 1, Jesus came to preach the good news. He came to preach the gospel. And sometimes he does that in parables. And parables are meant to be slightly tricky. They're meant to make the reader or the listener to think and to consider what Jesus is talking about, because the gospel is a heavy thing. Amen. Your eternity, your salvation is critical. And so if the parable has the gospel or parts of the gospel in it, it wants us to consider and think that. It wants us to slow down instead of just hearing, but to start listening. My wife says there's a difference in that I do too much hearing and not enough listening at times. Another conversation for another time. But sometimes we do a lot of hearing, and we're already formulating a response. We're already thinking of how we're going to respond to that, or someone else who might be struggling with that. But we seldom take the time, I believe, to listen and truly consider, what does this message have for me? And throughout this, maybe you caught it, Jesus says, listen. Those who have ears, and as I look out, some of you are easy to see your ears either because of your haircut or you have glasses on, so I'm assuming there's ears. But all of us have ears, some that work better than others. Some of us have bionic ears. But we all have ears to hear. And so Jesus calls us to hear and to listen and to respond. And so that is my hope in today's message. And so he talks about the different soils that this farmer would be casting seed onto. And generally, the way of farming back then would have gone to where they wanted plants to grow. They would have grabbed a handful of seed and they would have thrown it out. What comes to mind for me is when I'm spreading salt. I got salt and I take a handful of salt and I throw it at the ice and it skips across the ice. In many ways, they would have done that with the seed. They would have seen which way the wind is going. They would have reached into their bag of seed and they would have tossed it with the wind, allowing it to scatter and fall, and allowing then it to be watered by the rain, and then for it to take root and grow. But Jesus tells us that it falls on different soil, right? And so there's going to be some pairing between the first part of the scriptures and the second part, 13 through 20. with a little thing in between, a little explanation. And so I want to get into that this morning as far as what some of these mean and talk about that. But before we do that, I want to talk about our ears again real quick. Many times throughout Scripture, it talks about our bodies being tied together and being linked together, not only physically, the knee bones connected to the, in that song that goes on, and I don't remember all the words to it. I know that doesn't count, Rick, as me singing, so we'll keep working on that. But the Bible does talk about a spiritual connection between different parts of our body. And I believe this scripture, this parable, points out that there is a spiritual connection from our ears to our hearts, not our physical heart, but our soul, our spiritual being. And so what happens is he makes that connection, but the Bible has a lot to say about our ears regarding our faith. In Romans 10, verse 17, it says, "Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ." James 1:19, and then following in 22 says, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says." And finally, in John 8:47, there's many more examples, but I stuck to just a handful. John 8:47 says, "Whoever belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God." And for some of us, that should make us kind of wake up a little bit, if you will. It should cause some thought and say, am I really struggling to understand the Word of God? Is it because of my lack of time in it? Is it because of being distracted as I'm trying to read it? Is it because I'm simply reading it but not trying to understand or grow closer to God? Or is it because I'm not yet one of his children? I have not given my life to the Lord. And so something to consider. But I want to kind of focus now in verses 10 through 20, because some of what happens 13 through 20 will reflect back. And so Jesus challenges them to listen. And we kind of see what happens is he kind of draws away with the 12 apostles and then those that are also following him and are there for more than just the miracles, there for more than just the show, but truly want to learn about him and grow closer to him. And he says, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you," in verse 11. "But those on the outside, everything is said in parables so that," and he quotes Isaiah 6, verses 9 through 10, he says that "they may be ever seeing, but never perceiving, and ever hearing, but never understanding." And you think of the Pharisees, or at least I do in this situation, where they didn't deny Jesus' miracles. They believed that he had the power to heal people from leprosy and paralysis and different things like that. They didn't refute it. They didn't challenge it. But they just said that, well, he's in cahoots and being controlled by Satan. That was their explanation. So they saw it, but they didn't understand it. They heard what he taught, but surely he's not talking to us. He's talking to others. Amen. And it says, "Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven." And friends, this is what I struggled on this week. This week, as I was preparing for this text, and I knew it was coming up, and I was thinking of ministering to the children that are here and ministering to the adults and being available for the Holy Spirit to do that, I just really got stumped on this. And for some of you, it might be, yeah, I get this right away, but this one gave me trouble this week. And last night, as I came to get the computer at about 10 o'clock last night, and I was just kind of praying about this, and I said, "Lord, I don't understand this." And so I was getting ready to give you a story of, you know what? The Lord has just kept this from me for right now. I've sought it. I've looked for an answer to share with you, but maybe he's just trying to humble me and let others know that it doesn't matter if you're a pastor or if you're not, if you're studying the Bible every day frequently, that sometimes there's things that are confusing. And praise the Lord for that. Because what it did is throughout the week, I continued to pray about it. I continued to seek him on it. I continued to look for an answer. And part of the reason I was looking for an answer, and I think why it was withheld from me, was because I wanted to seem really smart. I wanted to impress. And as I looked at that, my shoulders kind of dropped, and I thought, how dare you, Franz? I started putting shame on myself, making it worse, and saying, you're looking for glory. You're looking for attention. And the Holy Spirit guided me through that. And it wasn't until after he started to kind of lead me and look at this differently that I realized, you know what? He was keeping that from me because it really caused me to seek him. It really caused me to try and draw close to him. And that's okay. It's okay if you don't understand all the parts of Scripture. That doesn't mean stop reading it. That doesn't mean stop searching it. Doesn't mean stop chasing after him. We should all the more. And late last night, I don't have any profound or in-depth understanding of what this exactly means, but the only thing that came to mind was if those that have hardened their hearts or have allowed sin to take them down a path so far that they are no longer perceiving or hearing the word or choosing not to, as the Pharisees had done, it says otherwise they might turn and be forgiven. And I was thinking, like, that was otherwise they might turn and then I'll have to forgive them. And that didn't make sense to me. But now I read that as, otherwise what will happen is, if they did actually perceive what was being said, if they actually did see clearly what was going on, they would receive the gospel. Praise the Lord that they would receive it and they would hear it and they would understand it. And then from that, they would repent, they would turn, and they would follow me. But unfortunately, I believe Jesus is saying, in quoting Isaiah, saying, unfortunately, they hear it. And either they don't understand it, or they choose not to understand it. They see it, but they choose not to acknowledge it as giving glory to God. And because of that, they will not repent. They will not turn from their sin. And they will perish. They won't be saved. And I believe that brings him great heartache. And so from that point on, my prayers changed from being, I just want to understand this so I can share it with you, to, Father, cultivate our hearts, cultivate our souls so that we can be ever hearing and always obedient and responding. That we can be ever seeing you at work around us and led and encouraged to join you in it. And so then Jesus chides them a little bit and says, you guys don't understand this? I said last week that the disciples, they were ordinary men, and that in many ways they were kind of a bunch of knuckleheads. And that should give us great hope. That we usually put them up on a pedestal, we look highly to them, but he's saying, no. They're just like me. They're just like you, and we're just like them. And we're slow to understand as we had our hands up earlier. And so then we get into the ground. As the sower throws a seed, and that would be Jesus in this parable, but it also relates to us as well, that when we share the gospel, we are sowing seed. We're not responsible for its growth or even where it lands, but we are to sow it generously. We are to be sharing the gospel continually. And so some of it falls on the path. And it says where the word is quickly snatched up. And to me, what this signifies is a heart of, kind of like a heart of stone. It's a hard heart. And so what happens is someone will hear it. And they might even consider it for just a brief second. But before it has time to sprout any roots and to grow, what happens is persecution happens, or bad things happen, or our life happens. What comes to mind is, sometimes what this might look like is someone that might come to church on a Sunday morning, and this is not to shame anyone, they might come to church on a Sunday morning and that's the only time they hear Scripture. That's the only time they open the book, and after the service is over, well, that was nice. Close it and out the door. Maybe not to hear it again for another year or several years, or maybe even till next week. Praise the Lord that they've come and they've heard the word, but they have no intentions of receiving it. Just as many in the crowd that followed Jesus had the same thing, and it says that Satan quickly snatches that up and that seed is taken away and it's dismissed. Why we need to continue to sow the seed. Some of the soil is shallow or rocky ground where it's able to take root, as the scripture said, and it springs up quickly. And it doesn't say if persecution comes, if trials of tribulation come. It says when it comes. It will be scorched by the sun. Quickly green, quickly gone would be a way of looking at this soil. It's shallow. It takes root. It's excited right away. But as soon as a little bit of pressure is put on it, it fades out and withers away. The third soil, some hearts are distracted. It's like in the thorns. It takes root. It starts to grow up. But as it's growing up, the thorns that are around it start to choke it out, start to squeeze it out. And Jesus even tells wealth, our well-being, cares of this world. And so sometimes we see seed that falls on that soil, on a heart that is distracted. They receive it, and as it's growing, they begin to fade. They begin to get choked out from the word of God, and they begin to slide more and more. And as the kids said, to the left, as God goes to the left, we go to the left. As God goes to the right, we go to the right. What happens is, as God is going to the right, we start to lose track that he's going to the right, and we start going to the left, and we call that backsliding or many other terms. But what we do is we stop reading the Bible, we stop fellowshipping, we stop pursuing the Lord because we get distracted by our jobs, by our families, by relationships, by money, by our wants, by our desires, by our health. The list goes on and on. We get distracted. But finally, he tells us of a soil that is good, that is fruitful. And it says that it bears crops, sometimes 30 times, sometimes 60 times, sometimes 100 times what is sown. So one seed is sown, the gospel is sown on good soil. The heart receives it joyfully. And it begins to sprout. How many of you have driven past a cornfield where all of a sudden you can just see it starting to sprout up, and you're thinking, all right, the weather's hopefully getting good now. It's starting to warm up, and the old saying of knee high by 4th of July, and that's how high you want the corn, and pretty soon it seems like July is over, August is here, and the corn has just shot right up. It was slow. It had been planted, and it took a long time for it to sprout, and it was growing very slowly. And if you continued to look at it, it didn't seem like there was much growth, but then all of a sudden, it seems like overnight, it just shot up. And sometimes, when we are obedient to the Holy Spirit and following after Christ, you see that in ourselves and those around you, where you can look back and say, wow, a year ago, I wouldn't have responded like this, or I would have done this instead. But now I feel differently about that. I look differently at that. Or you see that in people around you where all of a sudden they are just really growing because they're spending time in God's word and seeking the Lord in it. And so Jesus talks about the good soil and our importance of looking at it. So kids, I want you to look at the next slide here, and adults as well, is that there's four different types of hearts that Jesus is talking about this morning. He's talking about hearts that are bitter and hard, where they hear the word of God and they choose to reject it. And the second heart of being a shallow soil, where they're excited about it for a little bit, but bad things happen in this world. And some of you young individuals, you young children, have had bad experiences. And sometimes troubles come our way or our family's way, but God is still good. And God still loves us. And he doesn't call us to this soil to just sprout up for a short time and then fade away. I would worry that there is not salvation in that. And then the third heart, a heart where it was really growing, it was really doing well, but we get sidetracked and we look at the things around us where we want certain things. And the Bible tells us that those things of this world will choke out the word of God. But he calls us to the fourth heart, where it is good soil. And sometimes to get good soil, what will be happening soon with some of the farmers, they'll begin to till the ground, or gardeners will begin to turn the soil over. And sometimes things happen. Sometimes manure needs to go into it to help fertilize it. And if you think about manure, it's not the most pleasant smelling. Cultivating, if you look at it from the standpoint of a heart, things are getting turned up, things are getting torn out, stones are getting removed. The hardness is getting taken out from some of the earlier hearts. And sometimes manure and fertilizers are put in there and it stinks and it's not a great situation, but God is using it. He's using it to make the soil better so that when that seed takes root, it can produce a good crop 30, 60, 100 times what was sown. So one of the things that he talks about is producing a crop, producing a fruit that is useful for other things. And so are we producing fruit? Are we producing things of value to those around us? Makes me think of Galatians 5, 22 through 23, the fruit of the Spirit. And so they're up there, goodness, patience, kindness, self-control, love. Forbearance was up there, but I put in patience as a more understanding word, faithfulness, and peace as well. And so as we look at the fruit of the Spirit, it makes me think of the verse that Brent read this morning in John 15, 4 through 5. But I'm going to read from verse 1. Jesus speaking, one of his seven I am statements says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. He cuts off every branch that bears no fruit. While every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. So here's the situation. If you're not bearing fruit, you get cut. If you're bearing fruit, you get cut. You get pruned. But what happens after that is different. But he prunes it so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you, talking about believers. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain on the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And it says that those that are cut off, that are not bearing fruit, are tossed into the fire and are disposed of and will no longer be grafted back in. Because of Christ's death and resurrection on the cross, because of the blood he shed, we were grafted in to the power source, to the vine. We are the branch. We don't produce the fruit. We produce fruit because we are attached to the vine. And so what happens is we are called to bear fruit. If we're not bearing fruit, we're either very stagnant in our relationship with Christ or we're not a follower of Christ at all. We're just putting on a face, a facade, making it look like we are believers. But Jesus is saying, you're going to get cut either way. You're going to go through trials. You're going to go through tribulations. And some of it is going to produce more fruit for God's glory and for the good of those around us. The fruit is not for ourselves, but for those around us and for his glory. We can't do anything apart from the vine, at least nothing of lasting impact or of significance. So I just want to finish. Men, I believe it's a great responsibility and a beautiful opportunity for those of us that have been called into a marriage or into a relationship to lead as a father, or at least as a husband, And so with that responsibility, here's a great opportunity for us to disciple our families and disciple our wives and to lead them. Today and maybe throughout the week, we can ask first ourselves this question and be ready for an answer. But to ask our wife, to ask our children, what kind of soil are you? What kind of soil do I relate to? And then listen. Listen to the response. And ask the question, well, why do you feel connected to that soil that Jesus talked about? And as you ask yourself the question of which soil you are, which one you identify with, ask yourself, would those around me, those that do life with me, if they were asked to say what soil I am, would they agree to which one I responded to? Sometimes your answers might be surprising. You know, do you feel like you've just been coming week after week on the hard soil and you open the book, you close the book, and you'll come back another time? Or do you identify as the shallow soil with the rocks where, man, I get excited for a little while, but then I just kind of burn out when troubles come? Or am I the soil that I've faded from the Lord and I'm getting choked out by the cares of this world? And that's not to shame you. That's the Holy Spirit poking and prodding and calling you back, saying, chase after Jesus again. Or are you the good soil? What kind of fruit are you producing? Who's the recipient of that? Are you producing fruit for those around you, and is God getting the glory? Children, you guys I can count on to take a challenge seriously. And so, young ones, yes, you're tuned in, thank you. Young ones, I want to challenge you, those that have brought you here today, those that are here with you today, I want you to ask them, mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, aunt, uncle, whoever has brought you, ask them, what heart are you? What soil are you? Why? And those that get asked that question, you're welcome. But I want you to consider and think about it. This is an opportunity to shepherd and lead the children that you've been entrusted with, at least today, and hopefully many more times to come. Of what kind of soil are you representing? Are you demonstrating to those around you? And then finally, are you spreading the gospel seed? Are you spreading it generously? And with that, are you praying for God to be cultivating the hearts of those around you? I've had many conversations with some of you and your concerns for certain loved ones that you want them to hear the gospel, or you've shared the gospel or heard others share the gospel with them, and it's just not taking root. Continue to pray. Continue to plead and beg with the Lord to cultivate their hearts into good soil that is producing much fruit. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you've given us ears to hear. Father, I pray that you would continually challenge us and grow us so that we are producing more fruit for those around us, for their good. Thank you for the gifts you have given us. But may it be all to your glory, not mine. Father, may we seek you in your word, asking the Holy Spirit to illuminate our souls as we read your words, how we can minister to ourselves and minister to those around us with the gospel of the good news. Father, continue to challenge us to scatter seed generously. And Father, I ask that you are already sending out your Holy Spirit before those that are taking this challenge seriously, this call that you have given us through Jesus seriously to share your gospel, that you are preparing hearts, cultivating hearts to receive your good news, and it will land on good soil. Father, I pray that as we are sincere in spreading the gospel, that we would not try in our power to make it take root or to have it grow, but that you will water it, you will grow it, and you will change the soil to what it needs to be. Father, we trust you with all these things. Bind these things to our heart as we continually gospel ourselves. Father, we love you and thank you. It's for the sake of your name, through the love of your son, Jesus, we pray these things.